Faith for Revival Ministries is excited about sharing with you this Bible message by Evangelist Chris Miller. This message was recorded in one of the many revival services he has preached in churches across America. Our prayer is that this message will be a blessing and will nurture your faith for revival.
1 Corinthians chapter 11. Are you ready for the day? Ready for activities and sports tournament? I hope you are. And you'll do a great job today and have a lot of fun. Get involved in everything you can. Say, well, we've lost something. Well, hey, get involved in other activities as well. Make the most of it. You're going to have a great time. We already have this week. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Find verse 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Find verse 23. If you have got it, just say yes. That's most of us. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, look at verse 23. The Bible says this, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." So he's getting ready to eat. Here's the Last Supper. Look at verse 24. "And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament, my blood. This do ye all as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Look at back at verse 24 that says this, "And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body." Help me out with the next phrase, just to, it starts with which and just goes through the colon or semicolon there. Just help me out with that phrase. It says, "Take, eat, this is my body," ready, "which is broken for you." Have you ever forgotten things before? Are you one that easily to forget different things? Perhaps you can not remember what you ate for breakfast a week ago today. Say, "Brother Chris, I can't remember what I ate for breakfast this morning." You know, it's a difficult thing to be able to remember things. Some of you have, I love watching t-shirts for teenagers. You know, some of you have t-shirts, I think I've seen one this week, even maybe today, and it said, "Easily distracted." You know, yes, yeah, very much so. "I'm easily distracted." It's okay, you're trying to get a conversation. "Hey, remember when..." And then, you know, come back. Shiny object. Come on. Yeah, look back here. All right. Okay, all right. Focus with me. All right. Yeah. Look here. You know, maybe you see a t-shirt. I'm not here right now. I'm out looking for my mind. You know, something like that. Maybe you see some of the t-shirts say, "Da-na-na, da-na-na." But you read it, "Duh." No. You know, it's like, wait a minute. It's hard to remember the things oftentimes that are important. Hey, let me ask this. Here's the quiz. How many of you remember the first message on brokenness as broken things? And on Monday, we talked about, I won't try to give it away, we talked about broken what? Broken? Ooh, good memory. Broken pitchers. And Gideon. And there are... picture of "I can" has to be broken. We have to depend upon God. Our picture of "I want" has to be broken and not be in the flesh and do what the lust wants, but the desires of the Spirit. Then Tuesday we talked not on broken pitchers, but the next one last night we talked on broken ground, breaking up that fallow ground. You know, we've been saying that God uses what? God uses broken things. Well, God uses broken things. But it's interesting, in today's verse, we see here that it's not us being broken, but it's the Lord Jesus Christ being broken for us. And we need to be reminded of what He has done for us. Would you close your Bibles right now? And just, if you would, go back with me to the Lord's Supper, the first time the Lord Jesus had the Last Supper. He said for us in the church is to now to be able to take bread, and unleavened bread is what most use, and juice. And as you take and eat that and you drink that in a church service, we call it the Lord's Supper, maybe communion. maybe something like that, and you do it to remind yourself of what took place. Well, there was the Last Supper, and Jesus come in, and he began to wash the disciples' feet. The Bible says, and he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took upon him a towel, and girded himself, and took a water basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet. Peter came and said, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? In other words, he's asking, are you intending to really wash my feet? Why? Because this was the job of the servant, not the job of the master. Then he explained to Peter, I was supposed to wash your feet. And as he did so, he then went through and washed his feet and then all the disciples' feet. And afterwards, it says, so after he had washed their feet, he sat down again and took upon his garments and was set down. And he said, know ye what I've done unto you? You call me master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, so it also ye also should wash one another's feet. He was being an example of a servant. At that very time, they had the meal and the Last Supper with the disciples. It's during this meal that Jesus announces and says that he's going to be betrayed by someone. Ones are asking, is it I? Is it me? Who is it going to be? And Jesus and Judas at that very time dips his bread in the sop at the same time. Directly after this, Judas then goes and betrays Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Jesus says, Peter will deny me three times. After the supper, they finish and they go out to the Mount of Olives and they begin to sing a hymn. After that, Jesus goes to the Garden of Gethsemane and he's going to pray late into the night. His disciples are tired and fatigued and they don't stay awake. They don't stay with him as he begins to pray. But here we see one of the beginnings of his body being broken for us. A doctor, an MD by the name of Davis, in 1965, wrote this about this portion. It says, the physical trauma of Christ begins in Gethsemane with one of the initial aspects of his suffering, the bloody sweat. It's interesting that the physician of the group, St. Luke, is the only one to mention this. He says, and being in agony, he prayed the longer and his sweat became as drops of blood trickling down upon the ground. Though very rare, the phenomena of hemophidrosis, or bloody sweat, is well documented. Under great emotional stress, tiny capillaries in the sweat glands can break, thus mixing blood with sweat. This process alone could have produced marked weakness and possible shock. Jesus then crosses over the brook Kidron and goes to the secluded place in the garden. Judas knew exactly where it was because he had resorted there, the disciples had, with Jesus before. It's at this place when Judas betrays Jesus with a kiss. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto him, whom seek ye? And they answered, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto him, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with him. As soon as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then he asked them again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Most likely very timid at this time. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way. What was Jesus doing? He was showing very clearly he was voluntarily going to the cross to die for us. He was in control of the entire situation. The guards then take Jesus. They first take him to Annas. Annas was the previous high priest. He was also the father-in-law of the current high priest of the Jews, Caiaphas. As he goes to Annas, he is questioned by them. He is accused of blasphemy. And they're asking, what did you teach? And Jesus responds, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue, in the temple. Ask them. I've not hidden anything. As soon as he did so, one of the soldiers, one of the officers which stood by, struck Jesus on the face for talking to the high priest, previous high priest, in such a way. After being questioned by Annas, he's then taken to Caiaphas. Caiaphas, the high priest of the council, and others and the priests try to get false witness against him. So they're supposed to get two witnesses that agree, but they could not. One of the witnesses said, well, this fellow said, I'm able to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days. Christ remained silent. The high priest said, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? Christ still remains silent. The high priest says, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Christ responds, thou hast said. The high priest accuses Christ of blasphemy and asks the others, what do you think the council agreed? They said, he is guilty of death. They begin to spit on him and smite him with the palms of their hands. Spitting today, of course, is humiliating, is shameful, but then it was even worse. The Bible says they buffeted him or they beat him. They even blindfolded him. They told him, prophesy now. Tell us who beat you this time. Who spat on your face this time. Who smacked you this time. Jesus, battered and bruised, exhausted from a sleepless night, is taken across Jerusalem to the praetorium of the fortress Antonia. It was there where he was going to meet Pilate the governor. It's before this time Judas comes in before the high priest and he throws down the pieces of silver and says, I betrayed innocent blood. They said, what is that to us? See you to it. And he went out and hanged himself. When Jesus arrives before the governor Pilate at 6 a.m., he's questioned by Pilate. He's taken into the inner court, and the Jews stay outside. They didn't want to, during the Passover, didn't want to defile themselves. But when the priests and the elders accused him, he answered nothing. Pilate questions Christ for remaining silent, then says, well, I'm just going to send him to Herod. So he moves him over to Herod. He goes over to Herod, another ruler, and as he's there, Herod had heard of Christ. He wanted to see some type of miracle, kind of like a trick, like a magic show. Show me something that you can do. But during the entire time when he was before Herod, he was completely silent. It was at the time with Herod when the soldiers then gave him the gorgeous robe. It wasn't a gift of honor. It was a gift of humiliation. It was a gift of mockery. Oh, here's a king. Let's put a kingly robe on him. And they sent him then back to Pilate. They didn't know what to do. Pilate sees that he has nothing against him, so he then asked the people. The Bible says this, therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day and a dream because of him. The chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. They said, Pilate said unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus? And they all said, let him be crucified. And he asked the question, why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw they could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands and said, I'm innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. And all the people answered and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Amazing statement. After this, the soldiers mock him, spit him. They take the crown and the robe and they put his own raiment back on him. Then Pilate condemns Jesus to death of crucifixion and scourging before that. The scourging for the preparation of the scourging is carried out. The prisoner is stripped of most of his clothing and his hands are tied to a post above his head. The legionnaire steps forward with a flagrum in his hand. This is a short whip consisting of several heavy leather thongs with two small balls of lead attached near the ends of each. The heavy whip is brought down with full force again and again across Jesus' shoulders, his back, and his legs. At first, the heavy thongs cut through the skin only. Then as the blows continue, they cut deeper into the subcutaneous tissues, producing first an oozing of blood from the capillaries and the veins of the skin, and finally spurting arterial bleeding. The small balls of lead first produce large bruises, which are broken by subsequent blows. Finally, the skin of the back is hanging in long ribbons, and the entire area is an unrecognizable mass of torn, bleeding tissue. When the centurion in charge determines that the prisoner is near death, the beating is finally stopped. The half-fainting Jesus is then untied and allowed to slump to the stone pavement, wet with his own blood. The Roman soldiers see the great joke in this king this Jew claiming to be a king, and they throw the robe across his shoulders again, place a stick in his hand for a scepter and a small bundle of flexible branches, a small bundle of branches with long thorns are pressed into his scalp. Again, there's much bleeding there. After mocking him and being finished with making fun, they go ahead and take the stick from his hand and smash it across his head, driving the thorns even deeper into his scalp. The soldiers then prepare to take him to and the cross to Golgotha. Simon of Cyrene carried the cross to Golgotha, the place of the skull, while a huge crowd follows Jesus to Mount Calvary, a distance of about a third of a mile. Once at the site of the crucifixion, the robe that had been on his back is ripped off. Just recently, I had an accident where I had a rather good-sized sore right here, and it was open, and I wanted to put some medicine on it. I thought, wow, I don't want to just go to bed with this and have it go on my clothes or have it go on my bed and the sheets. So I better cover it. So I put some medical tape on, a rather large bandage over it, tried to do it loosely there. I let it stay there all night. When I got up in the morning, it was stuck to the sore. Oh, man, it was so painful just taking it off. And as it did so, it began to bleed again. That's exactly what happened with Christ. Here, he's had this robe put on a back that's been scourged. When it's ripped off, could you imagine the pain? And then now, most likely, it begins to bleed again and open the wounds a second time. At about 9 a.m., the crucifixion begins. A Golgotha, the beam is placed on the ground, and Jesus is quickly thrown backward with his shoulders against the wood. The legionnaire feels for the deep depression in the front of the wrist and drives a heavy square wrought iron nail through the wrist and deep into the wood. Quickly moves to the other side and repeats the action, being careful not to pull the arms too tightly, but to allow for some flexion and movement. Then the beam is lifted in place, and at the top of the post, the title is reading, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, is nailed in place. The left foot is pressed backward against the right foot, and with both feet extended, toes down, a nail is driven through the arch of each. As he's hanging there, the arms fatigue, great waves of cramps sweep over the muscles, knotting them in deep, relentless, throbbing pain. With these cramps come the inability to push himself upward. Hanging by his arms only, the pectoral muscles are paralyzed, and intercostal muscles are unable to act. In other words, air can be drawn in, but he can't exhale. In order to exhale, he has to pull himself upward and exhale and then go back down and hang. Hours of limitless pain. Cycles of twisting, joint-rending cramps. Incredible pain as his lacerated back is moving up and down against the rough timber. And then he begins to speak. And it has this seven sayings, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. As the thief on one side mocks and blasphemes Christ, the thief on the other side accepts Christ as Savior, and he says, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. He says, woman, behold thy son. About noon, 3 hours later, after the crucifixion began, about noon, the sky became completely dark. It's the middle of the day. The Bible says the entire world was dark for 3 hours. It's during this time that the climax of all of mankind comes together. It's at this point of the entire universe where everything hangs in the balance. What happened at this point? At this time is when God took all of our sin and placed it upon His Son, Jesus Christ. And no wonder he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The fifth saying, he says, I thirst. The next, he says, it is finished. Jesus Christ paid for our sins. Then finally he says, Father, to thy hands I commend my spirit. The veil of the temple, a heavy cloth, was rent in two, was ripped in two from the top to the bottom. A great earthquake took place where it says that the rocks were ripped in two. What was taking place? Everyone knew that he had died. The Bible says, now when the centurion, when they were with him watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this man was the Son of God. They came to pierce his side with the spear, as often they would do through the fifth interspace between the ribs, upward into the heart. There immediately came out blood and water. Apparently to make doubly sure of death, but Jesus Christ was already dead. We therefore have rather conclusive post-mortem evidence that our Lord died not the usual crucifixion death by suffocation, but of heart failure due to shock and constriction of the heart by fluid in the pericardium. In other words, Jesus died of a broken heart, symbolic of one broken for you. This is my body, which is broken for you. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being found in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. If he was broken for you, why do we have such a difficult time to simply do what we heard about this morning? Dear God, here's myself. I want to be broken for you. It's no pride, just humility. Dear God, I give you myself. May we contemplate what he's done for us so then we can give everything, everything back to him.
We pray that you will take the step of faith to apply the principles you have heard in this message. For more audio messages and blog articles by Evangelist Chris Miller, please visit our website at www.faithforrevival.com. That is faithforrevival.com. May God bless you and build in you faith for revival.